I'd like to introduce the panelists for the discussion on Measure W, the Charter County. The proponents, Linda McClure, who is a former labor organizer and local environmental and social activist. Doug McKenty, who's a local radio host and environmental and social activist. Both proponents are candidates for Measure W proposed charter. The opponents are represented by John Kennedy, Executive Director of the Employers Council of Mendocino County. The timing rules are the same as they were for Measure V, and that is each side gets 2 minutes opening, 1 minute to answer a question, 30 second response time, and 2 minute closure. We'll start with John, the opponent.
Okay, I thought the plaintiff usually goes first.
Well, we can start with the plaintiff, the proponent.
Go ahead.
All right. I'll just start by reading this opening statement. Becoming a charter county is a process that occurs in stages. First, we must pass Measure W, which merely allows a charter commission to write a draft charter for voters to consider in a future election. All specific issues pertaining to what might be in that charter are hypothetical at this point and have nothing to do really with Measure W. Let's avoid getting involved in discussing such issues without being very specific that these are for stage two. And the electorate will have a chance to vote on a final charter after stage two is complete. Passing Measure W is stage one. We should be discussing the pros and cons of becoming a charter county, then discussing the process required to make the change. While some charter commission candidates have advocated for certain specific issues, there is no way of knowing if their issues will end up in the final draft. We do not yet know who will be on the commission, so currently the charter is like an empty box. We simply have no way of knowing what a final draft will look like and can't make any promises as to what may happen during that stage two process. What we can say, and what Measure W is about, is that a chartered county would give all the benefits of home rule as outlined by the California Constitution, and that charter law is the most powerful form of local government allowed by that constitution. In describing the charter process, we emphasize the notion of participatory democracy, ensuring the voters that there is no particular agenda by the elected commission other than interacting and negotiating with the electorate in general and county organizations specifically, in order to write a charter that is functional as well as reflective of the will of the citizens of Mendocino County, a charter that is custom fit for the needs of the people of Mendocino County. All we are asking for with Measure W is an opportunity to write a draft charter. The charter will be written only after much deliberation and public input. Anyone can vote yes on Measure W to give us a chance. If you don't like the final draft, you can vote no when the charter itself comes up for a vote after the stage two process is complete. Thank you.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
Thank you for all staying. I'm probably the only one that's fallen asleep after the last one. I want to start by making it clear that although I'm speaking in opposition of Measure W, and I've had to speak as a county supervisor in opposition for a few things to a few groups, I'm not in opposition to the nice folks that are advocating this. I have to say that for the groups that I've had to oppose in the past, not too many, this is the friendliest collectively that I've ever had to oppose. It may not be that way by the end of the night, but we'll see. That being said, I'm also going to disagree with Measure W, and this is why. There will be nothing gained by forming a charter county. Because there's little to no benefit to forming a charter county, then forming a commission isn't worth the time and energy and money that the county is going to have to spend to do it. It will essentially have no value to the citizens. Forming a charter will not address any unfunded liabilities. It will not expand access to mental health care. It will not address homelessness. It will not adequately fund local volunteer fire departments. It will not preserve or enhance any other essential services. The message has radically changed since its inception. When they were getting signatures, there were promises made. Promises like starting a public bank, investing locally, stopping illegal foreclosures, taking control of the government, becoming a sovereign county. The message now is to forget about all those promises and just vote yes on forming a commission. That way, the public can form the commission as if that's really going to happen. So it's a bit of a bait and a switch right now.
Okay, we have a number of questions here. A lot of them have to do with the process. So here's the first one. We'll start out with the proponents, as it seems like they would have the information on this. Who nominated the people who proposed to write the county charter? Did they nominate themselves?
Well, the candidates chose to run for office. We did have to get signatures on our petitions, so we were nominated by the people who signed the petitions. But as anyone running for public office, that's a decision that the individual makes and gets the support they need to do that. Anyone could have run.
John?
That's how it works.
Okay. Do the commissioners have a timeline to create the proposed charter?
That's a good question. We asked Jeff Neal, who spoke in front of the Board of Supervisors, because we weren't sure. And his interpretation is that we have 2 years to write a charter and get it on the ballot. As a charter commissioner, my hope, and I'm just speaking for myself on this, was that we would get the charter on the November 2017 ballot, but it just depends on the process. So we have up to 2 years to be able to do that. After the charter is written and goes up for a vote, then the Charter Commission will be disbanded and its job will be done.
Whether or not the charter is approved or disapproved. So this commission just gets to do one charter proposal?
This is an interesting question as well, because it in the California Constitution, it says that a Charter Commission will be elected to write a charter. So the interpretation at this point is that that means writing a charter. And if the people voted down, then yeah, the Charter Commission would be disbanded and the process would be over. But it is up to interpretation, actually. So we'll continue to get more information on that as the process continues.
John, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, since we'll kind of segue this into the actual where the rubber meets the road. We believe it's 2 years. There's not much precedent set for forming charters. In fact, 10 of those 14 counties were formed in the 30s and before. So there's not a lot of current info that's available. But we're pretty sure that it's 2 years that the Charter Commission has to gather their information and seek civic engagement and try to write the charter. Here's the problem. Although the charter advocates claim that there will be no cost to the county because the charter commissioners are free, no way, no how. It's already cost the county tons of time and hours and dollars to do the minimum research they've done already. If this thing goes 2 years, you're going to be tying up county council, the CEO's office, everyone else. There's going to be more money that has to come right out of the general fund to pay for this effort. And I'm pretty certain that we don't have a lot of surplus in the general fund when we have a lot of other agencies fighting over thousands of dollars.
If I could just comment that the charter commissioners do this on a voluntary basis. The county has offices. They have a county council office for the purpose of dealing with the legal issues in the county. They have an elections office whose purpose is to conduct elections. There are maybe 40 boards and commissions in the county right now, and the county funds those. They conduct important business in the county with volunteer help.
There, May I retort quickly?
Indeed.
Yes, that is true. The county is indeed staffed fully to handle the functions of the county. This isn't one of the functions of the county. This the county employees deal with essential services. So by adding the burden of forming a charter commission and seeking legal assistance and policy assistance is something that they do not need, and not one item on their list that I've seen so far is of any essential service. So
I have two other questions on cost. If you want to add to them, I'll just read them to you. What do you feel the public cost will be to implement Measure W? So that seems to go a little bit beyond the commissioner's volunteer time. And then the other one is also on cost. So just if you have anything further to offer besides a 30-second response.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add to this. It's interesting to me that this has come up because I really can't conceive of the fact that it's going to cost any more money to the county than just operating its day-to-day operations. The commission is totally free. It's volunteer time. We're going to need to use, you know, some public rooms so we can hold public meetings. We've talked to the Board of Supervisors about using their website so that we can post the minutes of our meetings. Yeah, I'd like to have a few conversations with County Council, but I can't imagine taking a lot of her time, and she is a full-time staffer, so I really don't understand this whole cost conversation.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably the only one that has ever worked in local government here and as a county supervisor and has had to balance a budget and understands the county budget probably better than almost anyone in this room. I did a little math the other day when we were at the supervisor's office and with the one item in the agenda in the chambers, I did quick air math, and that was about a $1,000 bill right there with all the people involved just talking about this on there. Now, that's just a little bit. So there are absolute indeed costs. It's not like these people don't get paid and they don't have something else to do. Here's another cost. If the charter commission gets approved and then the charter gets established, if you ever want to amend the charter without a regular election, you will have to have a special election, which will cost well over $100,000.
If I could respond to that, the candidates for a charter commission have already agreed that we would not submit a charter in a time that would require a special election. We would do it when there is an election coming anyway. I also would like to refer to Sacramento. Sacramento County is a charter county. Their charter was adopted in 1933. Since then, they've had 48 amendments, 13 new provisions added, and 8 repealed in a total of 27 elections. This is a living document. It's a shifting document, and it is not set in stone.
Precisely one of the problems. So when a charter has to be amended, we're not talking about when we're going to elect the charter to become a charter or the language. When it has to become amended and the timing is such that it's not going to coincide with a regular election or it's going to be a special election, and it will cost well over $100,000.
It doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to, but it can. It absolutely can. And again, everything in a charter draft language really that's been proposed so far has nothing to do with county government day-to-day business.
I could just say one other thing.
Okay.
The process of amending the charter is very similar to the initiative process. It's not very different from the way things operate now.
Okay, I have a lot of questions here about the benefit of becoming a charter county that I'd like to move on to, even though there are also a few process questions. Mm-hmm. Someone would like to know all the other people, the names, the specific names of the people that are on the ballot for the commission. Is that out here?
It's on the sample ballots. All the names are listed on the sample ballots.
Thank you, Daphne. I can't pull them up. Many of them are names of people who are well established as working in our communities in various ways.
Yeah, and just to add, there are 17 people running for 15 commissioner seats. Yeah,
you can vote for up to 15 people.
Yeah, so you don't. It's easy for you. You don't have to think of 15. You just have to think of your two least favorite.
Oh, you want me to read these?
Yes.
All right. Allie Becker, Ellen Rosser, Michael Sturgis, Mary Zellerchild, James Tarbell, David Paul Souter, Robin Sunbeam, Steve Scalmanini, Michael St. John, Keith Weiner, Agnes Woolsey, Norman Duvall, Govinda Dalton, Jed Davis, Els Cooper Ryder, and Doug McKinty and myself.
That was Ellen.
Yeah. The one on this side.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having that, Daphne.
These questions just seem to logically go to the proponent first.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm.
The question is, what's the benefit of a charter county? What are some of the specifics that would be gained from becoming a charter county?
All right. In specific, the difference between a charter county and a general law county is that a charter county is legally its own individual. So a general law county, which is what Mendocino County is right now, is a subset legally of the state of California. If we were chartered, it's just like a corporate charter or like the state constitution. It creates a legal entity that is its own individual. So that provides the county with more standing in court in terms of being able to defend itself as a person, if you will. It's called a straw man in legalese. And it also provides what is written in the charter is essentially equal in the force of and power of the law as what's written in the state legislature and in the state constitution. It can't supersede that law, but it will be equal legally. So it empowers our county with that force in terms of in the courts and in its negotiations with other state and corporate actors.
Was that a
Sorry,
question?
The question was, what are some specifics that could be gained?
How about I help with the specifics? Unless I will yield some time if you want to actually address some specifics, but I can if you want.
Well, there's a, let's see.
I'll take my time and answer and respond. So there has been this language of ambiguity and discuss about becoming a sovereign county and a legal, it's the county be on its own little legal basis and defend itself in court, all the things that will never happen, but it's neat to talk about. So I'll discuss a couple things that really could happen that may be a benefit or not. What you can do as a charter county basically is change the structure of government, period, that's it. You can't do all these other things. Now, changing the structure of government means you could add a few supervisors if you want. Why would you want to do that? Isn't five enough, Carrie? You can add term limits to the supervisors. You can consolidate some departments in the county, the same thing the Board of Supervisors can do right now as a general law county. So if you think that it's a good idea to add supervisors, great. Then you have to deal with redistricting and dealing with federal voting laws, and you don't want to go down there because it's not necessary. You can add some term limits, but we have term limits. It's called Election Day. Your scope is very, very limited as a charter county. You cannot do all the things that we're claiming that can be done. So those are actual benefits that you really could do. The others are irrelevant that has been spoken of.
Could I comment on that? You've mentioned a few times becoming a sovereign county. We're not looking at sovereign county, we're looking at sovereign people. The people of this county are sovereign. We are given that right through the federal and the state constitution, that we, the people, authorize government to serve us, to serve and benefit us. And in turn, government authorizes business to do business in a jurisdiction for the purpose of serving the people who live there. We've become inverted with corporations dictating to government who impose those will on the people of the count of any given jurisdiction. We want the sovereign people of Mendocino County to consider the structure and the function of our local government. There's what would be wrong with having certain populations in the county be represented on our governing board, like the Native American population? Why couldn't we break the supervisors into watersheds and have more local representation in the various communities?
Okay. I need
a number of more questions.
I need to respond to that, okay. Please. I use the word sovereign because you guys use the word sovereign. I'm not making anything up. I'm just taking from everything you said.
But sovereign, we say sovereign people, not sovereign.
Well, whatever. Sovereign, an adjective is possessing supreme or ultimate power. I don't think anyone in here has that, nor will the county have that. That's good enough for now.
The Constitution says we are sovereign people.
The Constitution's wrong. Listen.
That's
I'm because
right?
Because no one here possesses supreme or ultimate power. Now
that mentality
now,
that has allowed.
Now listen.
That's right.
Listen.
Let's not interrupt.
Listen, I'm an English major and I'm using the word as it's defined. Okay, now, excuse me for a minute. I agree on premise with almost everything you guys talk about. I seriously do. I am the executive director of a very conservative group called the Employers Council. I'm a Republican, have been for 18 years. I have a Bernie Sanders sticker on my car, okay? I've got an open mind. And I understand what you're doing. It's just that this is a waste of time and money and energy, and it's not something the county can afford to handle.
Okay, I'd move on to the next question. In what instances, if any, would the county charter override state law?
I'm trying to think of a specific instance. The California Constitution, Article 11, local government, says that. I mean, I could read the section, but it, you know how dry that can get. It says that general laws adopted by the legislature are superseded by a charter. So, Doug, can you help me out here?
Well, I mean, I think specifically in the Constitution, what they're talking about, it's difficult to know, actually. I mean, it depends on what's written in the charter. And one of the things John said is about the ambiguity of the language that we use. I mean, and I apologize for that, but the issue here is that there's no actual charter written. So we could write a charter that really kind of pushes back on the status quo. We could write a charter that uses community rights language that just sort of says, we don't care what the state says, but we're gonna do what we want. Now, if we write a charter that says that, we're likely to get sued. This is going to be a kind of a big deal. I have no idea if that kind of language is going to be in the charter or not. This is a huge community-wide conversation that we're going to need to have about what's going to actually go in the charter. So we can write a very conservative charter, and John would believe that that's basically all we can do anyway, because the charter can almost, you know, has basically no power to change things, or we can write a more progressive charter that maybe butts heads against what the state would have us do and just see what happens.
I'm all for butting heads, honestly. if it's for the right.
Yeah.
The to answer the question, you for the most part, you it will not trump any state law, except for the state law that defines the structure of county government. Then you can supersede in terms of the county government. I was at a Ukiah town hall. I've been to three other town halls. Scalmanini said, he's one of the candidates, he said a charter will trump state preemption laws. That's not true. And he's one of your candidates. Only a handful. And it creates a perception that it trumps all state preemption laws. That's disingenuous. It only trumps about this many, and it has to do with the structure of government. It can't just trump them all. That's exactly what he said. It's recorded, and I wrote it down.
Okay, if I may.
Yes, you have.
What we were discussing at some of these town hall meetings was about the possibility of placing community rights language in our charter, which is a certain political philosophy that challenges the right of state preemption. That's true. But we're not saying specifically that a charter automatically preempts state law. And in fact, we have no idea if community rights language will be in a charter. We have to have this conversation. These are stage two conversations. Right now, all we're doing is we're asking for the people of Mendocino County to elect these 15 commissioners to give us a chance to write a document. Then we can discuss these issues later on. If we find overwhelming support for community rights in the community, then we'll put some community rights language in there. If we find overwhelming support and we do some feasibility studies for a public bank, we could put a public bank in there, and then we'll have this debate later on down the road. But right now, we don't have any feasibility studies. We don't know what the will of the community is going to be, so all we're asking for is an opportunity to write a charter.
Don't you think that would have been more responsible when you're gathering those 5,000 signatures to actually use that sales pitch instead of the one that says, I promise all these things?
I never promised a thing in gathering.
Some did. I was listening. And maybe you need to moderate some of the other candidates' language, because that's what one of them said.
The thing is that individual charter commissioners can say what they want.
I know, but they're also going to be part of writing a charter.
Okay, let's... It seems, although there is a hunger, as indicated in these questions, for some specific information, that we're not going to get that. So let's move on to a little more understanding of, first of all, is there a difference between a charter county and a charter city?
Yes, there is. A charter city actually has more authority than a charter county.
Absolutely more authority. In fact, charter city can probably broach upon some of the things that you guys are talking about. The county, it can't. So,
what is the process that the commissioners would follow to write the charter?
We intend to break into small committees so we're not in violation of the Brown Act, and go all over the county and have town hall meetings and go to various organizations on the broad spectrum. We'll be at the Employers Council discussing what are the potentials, what are the possibilities. We can't talk specifics because we don't know what the people of the county want yet. But a charter gives us potential, it gives us possibilities, and we'll be exploring those throughout the county. And of course, having monthly public meetings per the Brown Act. So that's the process we plan. Doug?
Yeah, I mean, we're not 100% sure what that process will be, because we don't know who the 15 commissioners are actually going to be. So once the 15 people are elected, then those be the first question we'll be asking each other is, what is our process going to be? But I assure you, everyone who's running is interested in getting as much public input as possible.
Can I add to this a little?
Yes, of course.
Being someone that spent maybe 7,000 hours in developing civic engagement software and building a company called Citizen County to reach out to all local government citizens throughout the country, that's still not done, and we're about 70 grand into it. I know how difficult it is for civic engagement. And in the method in which we use civic engagement today, it is not going to be robust enough in order to get the majority of the citizens involved in writing the language. Now, when all 17, almost all 17 candidates have already shown an interest in what their personal agenda might be, it would be a little naive and silly to think that that's gonna change. Now, of course, it will change with some civic engagement and some input. You're not gonna get the input that we wish we all could. It is not going to happen.
Well,
I don't agree.
I'd be looking forward to getting your help on that. Because I've asked you for your help, so I hope that you will help us in the future. We also have a program.
I guarantee you, if it passes, I will absolutely help with my opinions of writing the language.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Yeah. I would also like everyone to know we've been looking into a process called wind tunneling. It's at windtunneling.com on the internet, and it's also a way of getting public input. The country of Iceland actually, in a couple of years, used internet access to get a lot of public input when they wrote their constitution after the crash of 2008, when they were remaking their government. So it is possible, and we'll certainly do the best we can.
Why can't the county residents get together and propose these changes anyway without becoming a charter county?
Can I go first this time?
You may indeed.
They can. They can. They have county supervisors that were elected. Most items that are on the list that's been compiled over several town hall meetings and months, some you just can't do, some are irrelevant, and some that are relevant to county business can absolutely be done by board action under a general law county. The Board of Supervisors can discuss this, vote yes or no, and if they make a mistake, they can take an action the week later and unvote that. It doesn't happen that way in a charter. So most of these items can be done, and if you don't like how your supervisors are handling what your thoughts are, then I would suggest run for county supervisor and then be part of the governing body that makes those decisions instead of forming something that is ultimately irrelevant.
If I could refer to, again, the California State Constitution, Article 11, Local Government, Section 4, this is one of the narrow little areas that we can deal with. We can establish the powers and duties of governing bodies and all other county officers, and for consolidation and segregation of county officers, and for the manner of filling all vacancies occurring within. I don't believe a ballot initiative could change the duties of, say, the executive, the CEO of the county. A charter can.
A 10-minute Board of Supervisors meeting can do that. Yeah.
But the difference is that's the government directing the people. A charter is the people directing the government.
When I was a county supervisor, I felt on the bottom of the totem pole, the citizens ran the county. We were chosen to deliberate, discuss, and determine what was reasonable. So your elected supervisors are elected to do that. That's what this whole thing is all about.
Being a chartered county doesn't prevent the Board of Supervisors from passing ordinances and then changing their minds. So the county would have the same power that it has now. The difference is that what is actually written in the charter would be a more powerful form of law. It's more like passing an initiative, but it's more powerful than an initiative. So if you think about an initiative like Measure S, if we get sued because of Measure S, which has some community rights language in it, by the way, and it's the anti-fracking ordinance, or Measure H, which is the anti-GMO initiative. Now, these initiatives can only be changed by another vote of the people. It's the same as a charter. But the difference would be that if we got sued about Measure H because a company wanted to grow GMOs here, then they would probably win. But if we had Measure H underneath a charter, as a part of a charter county, then we would have the extra standing in court to be able to win that kind of a lawsuit. So what it's doing is empowering the choices of the people when they're negotiating with these other chartered actors and agencies like corporations and the state and federal government. We're on an equal playing field with them, and what we actually put in the charter by a vote of the people has the same legal power as what these other charter organizations do.
Yes.
It's empowering the people of Mendocino County.
I've got more questions here, and we're running out of time.
All right.
What other counties have the best examples of charters, in your opinion?
Well, each of them have different provisions. I don't know that one is the best because I don't live in their county, so I don't know what their local environment is. There's a whole range of things that they deal with, from instant runoff voting to larger, you know, term limits, not charging candidates to have their statement in the ballot. I had to pay $700, and I'm retired on a fixed income. It was a real stretch for me to do that. It can interfere with being involved in the public process. If it costs you a lot of money to run for office, who gets into office? Do you have any other thoughts on other counties?
Well, I mean, I think what Linda is saying is that each charter is different depending on the needs of that particular county. And that's exactly what we'd like to do for Mendocino County, is to create a body of law that is custom fit for the needs of the people of Mendocino County, and then give it the force and power of charter law, which is the most powerful kind of law that a local government can have according to the California Constitution.
It's not that powerful. Speaking of it, one candidate mentioned some comparisons with other counties, and one of the candidates said, Alameda County doesn't allow incineration of solid waste. So that's very nice. And as if she wanted to put that in the charter as well. Well, in 1990, Assembly Bill 939 was passed requiring counties, cities, jurisdictions to reduce solid waste by a certain percentage over the next 5 to 10 years. And they had to do it through recycling, reusing, and reduction. And it was implicitly written that incineration was not a proper way to reduce solid waste. So that particular example is already in state law. It's just redundant, redundant, redundant. This is a complete waste of good energy.
Okay, it's time to wrap it up now. Each get 2 minutes. Mr. Kennedy, we'll let you start.
Okay. So I kind of prepared a two-minute closing today, or this morning, and as the day went on, I decided to not even use it. I just want to talk about real government, how it works, and what we have to do in government locally. About 1 o'clock today, I got a call from someone in Plumas County that asked me about some language that was in the prevention and early intervention portion of the Mental Health Service Act that I helped write in Plumas County. We talked about that. I was at my office a couple blocks away, and I heard this noise, violent noise, and the voice sounded familiar. I looked out the window, and it was a kid who is developmentally delayed, has some mental illness that I see 3 or 4 times a week. I went down there, and he was very violent, and I've never seen this. His mother was there, she was bawling, his caseworker was there. He was giving me the what for as well, talked to him a little bit. I spent the time to calm him down. We handled it. So the rest of the day, I started to think about what you do as a county supervisor, as an elected official, as an employee of the county. And there's a long list. There's a long list of health and human services, taking care of the seniors, taking care of the mentally ill, taking care of the physically and mentally incapable, taking care of child and child protective services, public safety, figuring out how to adequately fund volunteer fire departments that have gone without. There are a lot of things that you have to worry about in local county government, and I purposely went back to your long list of promises made, and there wasn't one damn thing on that list that had anything to do with running the essential services of this county. And I took my job very seriously. I didn't run again because my family didn't let me. And this I'm taking serious because this is not the right time spent for managing local government and taking care of services that have to be delivered to the citizens of this county.
Well, I did prepare, and I am going to read it. I support becoming a charter county so the people in our communities can tailor local government to the best fit, to best fit our needs, to exercise home rule. I'm excited about having vibrant discussions in communities all over our county about the best possible structure and function of local government. I'm excited about exploring how we, the people, relate to government we authorize and we fund. Measure W is not born out of anger or criticism. It comes from hope and vision and optimism. It comes from a desire to reclaim the intent of the federal and state constitutions, declaring we the people to be sovereign. Government is authorized by the people. The Constitution begins with we the people. It goes on to spell out our authority over government, whose purpose is to serve, benefit, and protect the people. Government authorizes businesses to operate, to serve, and benefit the people. The intent of our Constitution has been inverted, putting corporate benefit over government and over people. We, the people of Mendocino County, can create a government document that addresses the issues most important to us, quality of life issues, the health and safety of our families and our communities, and of the natural environment we treasure. We can strengthen our local government and support small business by blocking giant corporations from imposing their will to the detriment of our communities. We can choose to invest green and local rather than in Wall Street. Measure W is about possibilities. We don't need to accept the status quo, the one-size-fits-all government structure. A yes vote is a step toward shaping our county according to the vision of the people who live here. And thank you all for hanging in till 4 after 9.